This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Okay, here are some questions you probably have not been pondering, but which you really should. First, does a fiddle crab fiddle? And second, are pirates polite? We have answers to these questions, these burning questions, because we have with us in the studio Corinne Demas and Artemis Rarig. They have two new books out, Are Pirates Polite? And Does a Fiddle Crab Fiddle? And the answers will be given, at least in part, this coming Saturday, December 3rd, 11/12 to 12, a reading and book party, a fundraiser for the Amherst Survival Center at Amherst Books. And then from 3:30 to 5 o'clock at World Eye Bookshop in Greenfield. Both of those events are this coming Saturday, December 3rd. And then on Saturday, December 10th, 2 to 3 o'clock, book signing, reading, Q&A, and just so much fun at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley. That's Saturday, December 10th from 2 to 3 o'clock. Okay, let's start. Corinne, I need to know, are pirates polite and why do we care?
Or are pirates polite?
Well, this is a surprising thing. You wouldn't think that pirates are polite, but the pirates are full of surprises. And they do all these terrible piratey things, the kinds of things that kids really love, but they're always polite. And it's the kind of thing that we'd like kids to be as well. So we're sort of hoping that kids will be kind of excited by the pirates and turned on by the pirates and will want to model their behavior after pirates who always say please and thank you, never interrupt, and do all those polite things that parents really want their kids to do.
Right. So you, for example, point out in the book, and it's a beautiful book, and we want to talk to the illustrator in just a moment, who, by the way, happens to be your daughter, we are told.
No, they co-wrote it.
We co-wrote it.
Oh,
we co-wrote it.
We co-wrote it.
Neither of us, I'm afraid, have artistic talent. Oh, we're both the co-authors here.
Oh, I didn't understand.
Here.
Oh, terrific.
Both books are co-authored. And then they go out and they hire some wonderful illustrators.
Oh, both authors. I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. I apologize. I love these lines in this book. For example, when it comes time to board the boat, pirates wait in line. Really?
Yeah.
When pirates dine at dinner, they are never, never rude. And of course, when you get to the parrots, pirates can't be stopped from parroting and squawking. Even the parrots are polite.
They are. They are.
Okay. Well, let me turn, if I might, to Artemis and ask you this. Where did this idea come from?
Well, this idea kind of came because I've spent my entire childhood...
captured by pirates.
Well, some of it captured by pirates. But mostly I was watching my mom writing as I was growing up, and I spent a lot of time reading her books and everything. And I kind
Which
of,
there, I should point out, about 30?
32.
Yeah, let's see.
And her last book, The Pirates Go to School, was a rhyming book about pirates, and I put a lot of work into helping her with some of the rhymes, and finally
she's very good at this.
For this book, she was like, why don't you just help me write this one rather than just criticizing what I've done myself.
So, you think you're so smart, you do it.
I would guess, and this is just a guess, that it's not so easy to co-write a book where there's very, very intimate kind of collaboration about each one of the pages, each one of the words. So tell us about that process a bit.
Well, both of us would kind of go and write the rhymes ourselves, and then we'd come back together and read them to each other and both say, oh, I think we can make this better. I think I can make this better. And then we would mishmash them together and come up with something that was better than either of us could come up with by ourselves, which is kind of the point of collaboration in general. You want to come up with a better idea than either a person individually would have by themselves. So
you'd individually write the rhymes. Would you have images in mind for what the book might look like, or were these just the words on the page and then the illustrators would figure out how to go along with what you've written later?
We started off with the idea of the manners. What are the top, 12 manners or 10 manners that we think parents want their kids to
have?
Don't
interrupt.
That's right.
Wrong.
That's one of them. That's right. And then we tried to think about what would be a funny way that the pirates would deal with this particular manners issue. It's like waiting in line or keeping your mouth shut while you chew.
That's
and,
a big one at our
and
house.
So we
it's pretty big in the studio too, actually.
Right. Well, Artemis has a 3-year-old and a baby, so she's used to being around lots of little kids and lots of parents who are trying to keep their kids, civilized, more or less. So we made a list of all of the top manners, and then we played around with the rhymes, and I'd try one manner and she'd try another, and then we'd switch off, and then we'd keep going back and forth. You know, on Pirates Go to School, which was my previous pirate book, I would get stuck on rhyming couplets. I mean, it's hard.
It's hard to rhyme anything with pirate.
Pirates is nothing.
If I could find somebody who could rhyme with pirate, I'd hire it.
Right, that's it. You know, Monty, maybe the third book could be a three-way collaboration.
I think if the three of us were working on it, we'd mire it. And too many authors.
Got it. Well, pirates are kind of fun, so we had fun, you know, knocking this back and forth. And then what we did is we put all of these things together and cut them out and then tried to arrange them in the, you know, in the sort of the proper order. And then we turn the text over to the publisher, and then they find an illustrator. We have nothing to do with that. The illustrator just goes off and has fun on his own.
Are pirates a particularly rich place for this kind of discussion about manners? Because it strikes me they are, simply because the image of a pirate, of course, is this swashbuckling, you know, person without a lot of concern about etiquette. And yet you put something, you put two things together that at least at first seem really incongruous. And I'm wondering if that's what is being mined.
Oh, you nailed it. It's at the heart of it. And that was the same thing with Pirates Go to School, because most people think they don't.
Bad. See, just kind of stereotyping pirates.
That's it.
And of course, when you're trying to write a didactic children's book, you want to get something that the kids will actually be interested in and kind of hide the fact that there are manners in there. So what better way to hide it than in pirates or something crazy like that? It's kind of like the old hiding spinach in the macaroni and cheese trick. So
there's books about that too.
Yeah. And that was kind of similar-ish to what we were doing in the other book as well. Does a Fiddler Crab Fiddle was trying to get a potentially didactic text to really be in a fun form so kids would actually want to learn about.
That was one of the best segues we've had on the show in, gosh, I can't tell you how long. Now, are we going to take a break and come back to that, Monty? Is that what we do next? That's what we do next. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Newman, WHMP. This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
We continue our conversation with Corinne Demus and Artemis Rarig. They are the authors, co-authors of Are Pirates Polite? And Does a Fiddler Crab Fiddle? And we should point out that Corinne has written some 32 books and is an award-winning children's book author. She's also a professor at Mount Holyoke College. The book I want to turn to now is Does a Fiddler Crab Fiddle? And you, Artemis, have a specific educational background in this, coming from the University of Massachusetts, as I understand it. I may have perhaps garbled some facts, but you know a lot about fiddle crabs fiddling. So is that how this book started as an idea?
Well, this book actually came out of, I used to work at the Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary out on Cape Cod with the Natural History Day day camp out there. And there are fiddler crabs all over the tidal flats down there at the sanctuary. And a lot of kids who live on coastlines or ever visit the beach see these things, and they're a very charismatic little creature.
Whoa! A charismatic crab?
Yeah,
he plays the fiddle, Bill. What more could you ask for?
They're so
you want
cute.
Them to walk sideways or something?
They do that too, Monty.
Oh,
golly!
And I really didn't think there were quite enough fiddler crab books out there to read to the kids about this animal that was really exciting to them. And so I went to my mom and I was like, you have to write a book on fiddler crabs. And she's like, you play the violin. You have to help me on this.
You play the violin.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of segued both ways.
You also have a master's degree in this field. Yes?
I have a master's degree from the Organismic and Evolutionary Biology program at the University of Massachusetts. And so I had a lot of science background, and I worked a lot with other invertebrates. I worked in the invasive species lab at UMass in the Elkington Research Lab. They're doing a lot of work on biocontrol and invasive species like the hemlock woolly adelgid and winter moth around here. So for future segments, if
I
you
can't
ever
wait to hear the
those, but
hemlock woolly adelgid book comes out.
They're not charismatic. They're white and woolly, but they're not charismatic. They don't do cute things.
Yeah, they do bad things.
Okay, so I would like to know what it was that first attracted you to these charismatic crabs. You saw them fiddling?
They the males have one large claw and one small claw, which makes them a very odd looking animal. And they actually do this waving behavior with their large claw that kind of looks like they're playing the violin, which is how they get their name.
Oh.
And they don't actually use it to attack other animals or anything like that. It's actually
or to play Beethoven.
It's actually a weird evolutionary trait in them because it's not as useful as the small claw. So like the females, which just have two small claws, can actually feed a lot better than the males can.
And so wait a second. So the male fiddle crabs depend on the female fiddle crabs order to be able to eat?
No, they just have to use one hand. They have to eat one-handed. And
and grab things one-handed? Something like that.
It's all show for the men. It's all show. You've got efficient little claws.
Let's go to the events that you will be at. There is the event on Saturday, December 3rd from 11 to 12, a reading and book party, a fundraiser for the Amherst Survival Center that will be at Amherst Books, a fundraiser.
It is, and we're hoping that people will come and have fun, and we'll be reading both of these books. It's free. It's open to the public. We'll have some cute little pirate party favors and some refreshments, but we're also hoping that people there will buy books to donate to the Survival Center. We'll have a donation box because we give away lots of books to area kids who at holiday time, so that every kid can get a book.
You'll also be at the World Eye Bookshop in Greenfield on Saturday from 3:30 to 5, and then the following Saturday, December 10th, from 2 to 3 at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley. When you do a book reading, and I assume we have lots of kids who come, how do you, or do you, have any intent of keeping the chaos in order, or is it just, it's kind of just a crab for all?
It's a crab for all, but we're kind of hoping that this... both of these books will kind of entice the kids and make them want to listen. So for Does a Fiddler Crab Fiddle, each section is a question. So we ask a question and we say, does a fiddler crab build a sandcastle? And the kids all shout out, no, but he doesn't. Does a fiddler crab use a snorkel? No. Does a fiddler crab eat pizza? And the kids all participate and they yell out, no, and they get really excited. But then we can talk about fiddler crabs, and we can show them. I'm actually going to bring a little dead fiddler crab so that they can see the real...
Here, kids.
Real dead,
dead
thing. Exactly.
This is what happens when you over-fiddle as a fiddle crab.
Exactly.
This is the first two books that you guys have done together, though, right?
It is. It's our
So have you done any book events together like this? Or is this going to be are these going to be the first ones as mother and daughter?
Is this the premiere?
This is it. I guess we were at a New England Independent Booksellers Association, but there weren't kids there, so this will be mm-hmm. This is our first time reading out loud.
If you lean too close to your mom, we can't hear you. But it's interesting. I mean, you've come from an interesting background, Artemis, where you were, master's degree in all of these very particular invertebrates and working at Wellfleet and now working with your mom, who's a children's book author and has been your whole life. You feel like you're kind of stepping into the mantle of your mom in her life?
In some ways, children's book writing is very similar to doing science, because if you look at it, all the science research that you find is basically years worth of research that people have consolidated down to like a 5-page article.
Yeah.
And a children's book is basically taking a huge idea and trying to consolidate it down to a very short text.
The difference is I can understand most children's books. Science texts, not so much.
Is there a specific age that you're writing for? Because what I loved about these books is I thought they were written for, well, me. But is there an actual... Thanks, Monty. Is there an age do you have in mind?
I think we're looking for an audience of kids who can't quite read themselves, who will be reading with an adult. But, big kids love these books also. And what I've found is that my college students love picture books. They find them very comforting, and particularly around exam time, which is coming up, they love to curl up with picture books. And the thing about picture books is, unlike all the stuff online, is that they're actually physically wonderful. I mean, you hold them and you look at them and you turn the pages and the art is exciting and you can spend time in the world of the book. And it's kind of nice in today's world.
I'm wondering whether these kinds of books, these children's books, actually have a world and a place to be now that can't be displaced with technology. And therefore, this is actually something that we who love books can really literally hold on to.
I think so. And I think picture books are very different from real text because I think that, that when you're in the picture book, you can move around back and forth. You can look at the picture. You can hold it. And kids read them again and again and again. And what happens is the child will read it with a parent, and then they'll kind of memorize the text. And then they'll be able to,
and then they say, do it again. Read it again.
And boy, and you miss up one word, and the kid will nail you on it, right?
But that's how the reading begins, you mean, really, because you begin to associate these letters that you may start to know with what the words are that you've already memorized, and lo and behold.
And in The Fiddler, Crab, Fiddle, it has a kid's favorite word, which is the word no.
Poop. Oh, sorry, that was my favorite word.
No, kids love to say no. So this is, you know, they can read the word no and they can see it. And it's
and right. Also then the book kind of falls more into a toy realm a little bit almost because it's something you can physically do something with and move around with. And you can read a book lying on the bed or running on the round on the playground almost versus, which is something you can't really do versus when you're watching TV, it's a lot more passive or even looking at something on like a tablet. My daughter will sometimes look at ebooks, but she really reacts with, or interacts with them a lot differently than she does with a hard copy of a book. So,
which you can physically hold on to and really, literally hold close to you. We have been speaking with Corinne Demas and with Artemis Rarig. They are the authors of Are Pirates Polite and Does a Fiddle Crab Fiddle? They will be at the Amherst Books for the fundraiser for the Amherst Survival Center on Saturday, 11 to 12. World Eye Book from 3:30 to 5. That's next weekend, this coming weekend, and then the following weekend at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley. Thank you both for being here. Thanks for these fabulous kids' books.
Thank you
very much.